So we are live. So we have the topic skills for this month. And today I want to talk with you about skills across cultures. So your unique Indian view, Ritesh, and your unique Brazilian view, Isma. And next week, we will talk about survival skills, which I'm looking forward to as well, because the question is, would I survive in India and would I survive in Brazil? But that's next week's topic, yeah? And then just to remind you, Isma, so we have this week and we have next week, and then you do not see me live in a meeting until the 1st of December, yeah? Because the mayor has decided and has taken the executive decision without authority and being totally and utterly egotistical and customer unfriendly and being the horriblest, most meanest person on this planet. But the mayor is going on holidays. End of.
Yeah. Then we want to meet you next week.
So we meet next week. And then we do not meet until December.
Okay.
Because this person here, him, this one here, yeah, the master of disaster is going on holidays. And I'm sorry.
Why master of disaster?
Oh, because I'm getting everything wrong at the moment. I'm going through a phase where a lot of things are going wrong. Yeah. Okay. So, skills across culture. So cultural skills, the way people adapt and communicate and collaborate across different languages and different traditions. Yeah. And looking at the cultural gap. So, for example, cultural skills in France. If I know somebody, I can. If it's a woman, I can give her a kiss on one cheek and on the other. That may not be good manners in India. I would probably, Ritesh, if I did the same custom as we do in France to your wife, I would probably get hit by her and then by you, unless I knew better and I know not to do that. Isma, having a little chit-chat, small talk before discussing business, and looking at people in the eye. Hello, I see you. And also, apparently, Isma, I don't know if this is true, you touch each other sort of on the arm or something like that. You are a very tactile group of people in Brazil. Is that true?
Although I personally don't like just Brazilian habits, because there are people that touch you all the time when they are talking, but I don't like it. I think it's unrespectful, and maybe it's someone give them some intimacy that you haven't give them.
I see.
I don't like this.
Okay. Well, Brazil, sorry, Isma, you're the only Brazilian in this meeting, so you are the sole representative of 220 million Brazilians. Okay, so, you know, no pressure. Ditto, Ritesh, you're 29 years old. You are the only person from India in this meeting, so you are the sole representative of 1.3 billion people of your country. No pressure. Yeah. I'm sure you can handle it. Yeah. So in India, apparently I've been speaking you for quite a long time, Ritesh. And I have shown little respect by not saying namaste at the beginning of our conversations. Is this the case in point that I should have actually greeted you with namaste and possibly like this, namaste? Or I know that I'm uncultured and a horrible person. Will you forgive me?
No, like yes, like it. Growing up, like I feel that namaste is, it's more what do you call it, formal. It's very much like people they do. But if you look at the different cultures, right? Culture in the sense of India is a part of so many tradition, and people have their way of life. So in that sense, namaste is becoming so popular because of dominance of Hindi and North Indian cultures. And this word is used in originated from Sanskrit, but it is used in all the Indian languages. So this is very much, you are saying, it's there a divine meaning. You are saying from your heart, and so this is one thing. Apart from that, people they don't. It's like more formal way to greeting people. Otherwise, I don't see any like objection of saying this one, or if someone is not saying, I don't see any big thing in India. But due to the movies and the projection of things abroad and all, it has become so much part of the culture, and especially in the high places, especially if you go good hotels where they welcome you, they give you garlands and all the things. So this has become a tradition. But there are different words that is used in different places.
Okay, interesting. The other point that I have learned in the preparation is that listening carefully is important, and not interrupting when other people are speaking.
Yes, so I see this is a good thing all, and as and the same time this is a bad thing also. So it has become a culture of Indian culture as a hierarchical basis. So you are an authority, you are speaking, and I'm a person who is listening, and I'm not objecting of your thought. I'm not saying I even I'm not even I have opinion. I'm not allowed to say something that is contradictory to your statement, and this has developed that I feel that it should be like a more engaging discussion. Generally, this is taught to their kids. Listen to your grandparents, or listen someone is saying, don't cut them. And this has, I feel that this is a bad impact on the growth of the individual, or even the growth of the healthy discussion. We should be mindful of people who are speaking, but it's not like I am completely surrender to you and whatever you say, and this is all the things, and I have to listen. And this is a part of the culture, and this was developed like this, especially as if you look at the Guru Sikh Parampara, means teacher and student tradition, where student used to go to the teacher in their ashram, in the sense of their school, and they used to live there and learn. And those people were giving the teaching, and they were listening. They are given the opportunity to ask questions, but not interrupting them. Keep your thoughts, then ask questions. So I think this is not a better development of the society or a individual.
Do journalists follow the same rule, or do journal because there are some sometimes I listen to radio programs originating from the United Kingdom, and the journalists there are sometimes very aggressive and they interrupt and because they want to push the person they are interviewing into a certain direction and make him say something which simplifies life for the journalist but may actually discolor the picture or doesn't get the truth across. So are Indian journalists as polite and or are they as ruthless?
There's a two story of this one, two sides of this. One is if the journalist is favorable to you, he will ask your questions and he will give enough time for you to respond the way you want to lead that conversation. Or people are suspecting that they share the questions with them before going to interview, that I'm going to ask these questions, and the politicians or the people who are there, they prepare and they come up with the answer that they don't have to think out of the box and give a reply. And the other thing is opponent, the person, if you are not in their line of thought or you are not a part of their ecosystem, in that case they are very aggressive. They don't even let the people to respond. Okay, even if you look at the discussion going on right now for the current situation, and the person who's tried to give a genuine answer for that situation, but they will bring certain thing from the back that your party, your system, or your thought of people from your background, they were having this kind of thoughts. So what about that? So they always try to silence that person instead of listening their point of view and having a better and good discussion.
Okay, interesting, interesting. Isma, moving across a few time zones and one or two long stretches of water. I'm beginning to understand that I'm beginning to understand that what is in theory may not be in practice. So, greeting you with a kiss on the cheek instead of a handshake, which I am taught is customary in Brazil, you don't like it? Or is it something that is not correct? Or where are we? Where are we on this one?
When you meet a woman for the first time, it's not polite to kiss her. But if you have a friendship or maybe a close relationship, even in business environment, it's common. But I personally, I don't like it. I think it isn't necessary. I think it's a foolish. And in my opinion, I suppose that if you greet someone verbally, I think it's enough. It's not interesting to shake hands because I think it's something anti-hygienic. It's my opinion.
Personal opinion. Okay.
But normally people greet each other when I say when you meet one by one, shaking hands. But when you meet a group, you just say good morning, good evening, or something else.
Well, again, here, I've heard, or I've in my research, I've come across a sentence. I may mispronounce it. Tudo bem.
Tudo bem.
Yes.
It's the same that is that all right?
Yeah, all good. Is that all right? But apparently, it's a friendly way, so I'm led to believe, a friendly way to say hello.
No, normally you say something like good morning or good afternoon. Then you say, tudo bem? Is that all right?
We meet. Do we go for a cappuccino or a cafezino? Or do we
Cafezinho,
cafezino?
cafezinho,
Cafezino. So
zinho.
signor, cafezino. So even the pronunciation is difficult. So this is something Brazilians like doing, I am led to believe. Again, you are the sole representative of 220 million Brazilians. Cafezinho.
I didn't understand our question.
Is that normal? Did you go and enjoy a coffee together somewhere? You're basically drinking coffee all the time.
Yes, Brazilians drink coffee a lot. It doesn't matter if it's in an academic meeting or in a business meeting. All the time there is a coffee pot and some plastic cup.
Yeah, plastic cups, yeah.
Yeah, in some place it's normal. Yeah, but. If I invite someone to have a coffee and as a friend, it's not common to have just a little coffee. Normally, you have something else more. Did you understand?
Okay.
And not only a little coffee. Little
So,
coffee, it's for everyday routine.
let's play this one through. Let us say that Ritesh wins the lottery and he elects to fly all the way from Bangalore to Campo Grande in Western Brazil. So it's like a 9 hour time difference because it's 7 o'clock or something like that in the evening for him, and it's 9:30 for you in the morning for you. The poor man lands in Campo Grande in a totally strange environment. He doesn't understand anything about Brazilian customs. What advice would you give him on how to navigate the first few steps on Brazilian soil? Because kissing on the cheek isn't allowed. Carnival is only for a few months, a few days of the year. We don't know if Ritesh likes to drink coffee. Ritesh may have a strong sense of punctuality, but in Brazil, oh, you come 10 minutes late, it's no problem. Something like that. So how are you going to initiate Ritesh into Brazilian?
What I notice in media that many foreign men think that all Brazilian woman is like a whore. It's not something like that. You approach her and you think that you have a sexual relation for the first time. It doesn't work how many foreign people think that Brazil.
Okay. Well, let's stop that one there because Ritesh is actually a married man, so I don't think the temptation of that is going to cross his thoughts. Yeah, he only got married in February, so let's keep it real. Yeah, the man is 29, has to fly on business, leaving his wife in Bangalore, and he walks onto Brazilian soil, and he meets you because he's the only person he knows in Brazil is you, at least as far as I can say. So what are you going to tell him? Because can't kiss on the cheek. Carnival's only a few weeks or days of the year. Tudo bem is just one of many expressions. We don't know if Ritesh likes drinking coffee, yeah, and being late, you know.
If you are invited to have a lunch together, It's normal that people share the bill, but if Brazilian insist a lot, you can leave them to pay your part, no problem. And although many Brazilians say a lot of swear words, it's not polite to use them when you aren't intimate of them. And even women here, some women say a lot of bad words. I think it's not polite to use them if you aren't a friend or a close acquaintance. And Brazilian drinks alcohol a lot as well, but it's not interesting to get drunk. You have a bad reputation if you get drunk.
So you have to be a well-trained drinker. Okay.
I think the first few, I think it's the most important, I would say.
Ritesh, to summarize this, drink as much as you want, but don't get drunk. Not all Brazilian women are free women, as you know, in the sense of free in that sense.
And I think one important thing is when many things are normal for local people, and a foreign person does the same, maybe isn't well accepted.
Well,
Yeah.
this is exactly the point that I'm making, and then so Isma takes you Isma and his friends take you for lunch, but you're expected to pay your part. But maybe if you can negotiate, you can get Isma and his friends to pay your tab. Ritesh, how does this sound to you? Do you want to visit Isma? In Western Brazil, under these circumstances, or what is the picture you are getting from him?
Yep, so there are some some people have their own thought about these different cultures, and they think about the things that Isma mentioned. And I remember that one of the talk or the lecture of one of the teacher who is teaches competitive exam, especially for UPSC, Union Public Service Commission. And they say that the cultural difference of Indians, the people who look at far from India and look at the culture of Western culture or even the Brazil, that they think that it's okay to do all those things because they. But if you go there and see that it's completely different, the people they have imagination of the certain things. Okay, as he mentioned that people who are not too much, who are not reading enough, or who are not interacting enough, they will think the same that Ismail has mentioned, that they will think like their behavior, or they are open for everything, like everyone is like that. But it's not like that. For me, even though situations, whatever the situation is, I'm a person who would like to go and see and be, because a person living here and imagining things is different, completely different than going on the ground and experiencing those things. So I think even if I have an opportunity, then or somehow are lucky enough that I will get an opportunity, definitely go and see. Not even the not I'm not saying only for the Brazil, but any part of the world, to know. People have a lot of things, especially for Africa, they have different point of view, and for Europe they have different point of view, and they think a lot about the different ideas. But you should have opportunity to go and see that it is different than what you imagine. It's just imagination that we think, and it's true that we see, especially for the Indian people who are looking for different, they think a lot like this.
So Isma, we're going to reverse this now. You have won the lottery, and you are going to go and visit Ritesh in Bangalore because he is the only person from India you know. And you're going to go in March next year. And there's a particular reason why I say that. So first of all, even though Ritesh does slightly contradict it, the dumb thing is to say namaste, like so. If Ritesh invites you to his home to meet his wife and maybe share a meal together, which he has spent a long time preparing, it might be an idea to take off your shoes before you enter this person's house, Ritesh's house. Ritesh's wife will have prepared an excellent meal. It'll be very different to your Brazilian cuisine. You may be looking for cutlery. You may be looking for a knife and fork, and find that it doesn't. They don't have it because they eat with their hands. But you have to know which hand to use. You have to eat with your right hand. And then, and this is the reason why I chose March, is because March next year is the month of Holi. And you will find that maybe out of fun or out of the tradition, somebody, or maybe even Ritesh and his wife, may throw powder at you, and all of a sudden your head is red, your clothes are stained red, and despite all of this, because you are just a little bit older than Ritesh and his wife, they will show respect to you because about they will use polite words and polite gestures. So the holy tradition of throwing you with powder, because that's what they do in March next year. but that aside, you will be respected because you're a little bit older. Isma, do you still want to go and visit Ritesh and his wife, eat in their house, enjoy her cooking, take off your shoes, be thrown with powder in your face and on your clothes, but generally be respected? And after that, Ritesh, cliche and reality. So these are the points. The question is, is this actually the way it still is in 21st century India? But let's see if we can get Isma across to Isma across the Great Divide and get him to land in India.
I didn't know about that they throw some powder on someone's face, but if I go to a place and I know nothing about their culture, I think it can be a little embarrassing. But if I know just details, I think it's I won't have any problem.
You don't think you will have any problem.
Yeah, if I know previously, I think I won't have problem. But If I don't know something about it, I can get scared or maybe embarrassed.
Okay. So what about, would you instinctively take off your shoes when you enter their apartment?
I think it's not a problem because when I went to England and Canada, some people take their shoes off to enter the house. And even in Brazil, some people, not so many, but one or another do the same here. But it's not very common.
Okay. So you just have to make sure that your socks do not have holes in them, yeah?
I think in Japan they do the same, yeah?
In Japan they do the same, that is true. Oh, okay. So Ritesh, I think we're on a run here. So just to go through it again, saying namaste, we've kind of discounted that. Shoes off when they enter your house. Your wife's cooking, exquisite as it will be, but we eat with our right hands. What's his name? Isma will have to face the holy celebrations and maybe get thrown powder at him. Maybe you can explain the tradition there. But in general, because he's a little bit older, people will respect him. Are we on the same page here, or are there
Yeah,
some?
so certain things like removing the shoes or clothes, your slippers or something. If you go to any house, like especially for my flat, so you can see that the shoes are kept outside. So it will give an impression that, yeah, people do and remove shoes. So it will come naturally. We don't go with shoes. Inside some of the slippers there that is there inside the flat or to go washroom and all. Second thing is eating with hands. So that was the tradition of people used to eat with hands, but now the time has changed. People are using fork and knife. I think especially for the people who are living in Bangalore, they will have a fork and a knife. So, but it depends on the food, kind of food that we prepare, right? So, if something that is prepared, that can be, you can eat by hands, you can eat it. And knowing the person, like I know that Ishmael is from here, and he don't have a like grips to use, or he don't have a habit of eating by hands. So definitely, people are going to give our fork or spoon. Or even knife to cut things. The kind of food, like, so suppose it depends on the person who is cooking, right? So if a person I eat non-veg and my family and suppose my wife and me it's non-veg and Ismar is vegetarian. In that case, I can make a veg and non-veg, okay, for him because he prefers to eat veg. But if he is he eats non-veg and I am a person or cooking a person who does a vegetarian who is a vegetarian, so it becomes very hard to make a food non-veg for him. Okay, but generally people they will make the it depends on the person they are making. Okay, so there will be something that if you are eating, they will provide a food or they will create make a food for them considering. And even considering they're easy to make or they're comfortable of making it. The color thing, the throwing the color. The Holi is one day, but the month starts like Holi month. We call it the month of Holi. Holi. The kids and all, they started throwing the colors, especially in the north. But the city like Bangalore, people they don't want to make their walls dirty. They don't want to color their floors and all because they have to work and all. So they don't have time. So the Holi becomes a day celebration. Okay, even the people who are from the north. Nowadays, what happens that people go for Holi, there is an event. You pay some money, especially in Bangalore, Delhi, or big cities. Go to that place and throw like how much. Color you want to throw, whatever you want to throw. At the end, you come to home your holy is done. That at home in evening we do puja. So Ismar is like my father or grandparents. So what we'll do, we'll put that color. He will do tikka for me, or he will make a mark on me, not my wife, but and I will touch his feet. I will put some color or something on his feet, or he will give a blessing or Asirvad, we say it, to us or whoever is there. Even the person who is as at his age or almost like his age, or even the person who is younger than him, but at a good level, they will shake hands nowadays, they hug each other. They will put that color on. It's a different thing. It's not a color, but they will put on their head. They will shake hand with the color. So these are the things that happens. But the thing that we used to enjoy, or still people in the village area, or the people who are living in places that they can afford to throw color on each other, they do. And if some kids throw randomly color on Ismar, I'm not taking any responsibility, but they do. They throw water, they throw colors, different colors. In my childhood, we used to throw mud also on the people. We'll go and jump in the pond. So those things happens. But the people who are older than us, we respect and do this thing, especially putting the tikka, and tikka means a mark on the forehead, and touching their feet and getting blessed from them.
I mean, it's interesting. There's a very, very good book. It's one of the thickest books I've ever read. It's called A Suitable Boy by Vikram Seth, and it tells the story of. It is a highly, highly, highly complex book, a few. Many years later, the BBC, I think it was, they made a film, a mini series out of it, a 6-part mini series. Quite good, actually. And there is the scene where one of the younger generations, who's a little bit eccentric, shall we say, it is holy, and he pushes. He playfully threatens an Indian minister, so a member of the Congress Party, but not in Delhi, in the capital, but somewhere in the provinces. And he throws him with powder, and then he sort of playfully threatens him, and this poor minister falls into a fountain and gets completely soaked. And this particular it was the interior minister. He had a complete failure in the sense of humor. I mean, it just went completely and utterly wrong. And I think this sort of shows a little bit the symbolism that holi is fun, but it's a bit like one tradition in Germany, in carnival, is that on the Thursday before carnival starts, women have complete freedom to do what they want, and there is a tradition where they cut the ties of men. And basically, what happens is that if you live in an area where this is quite popular, you do not wear your best tie. Because you run the risk of it being cut, and your wife may scold, but secretly she will probably say, "Yes, us women, we can do this."
I remember one small thing. So in the childhood, so we will go put this color, and they will tear off your shirts, and everyone become shirtless. And so our mom used to give us the shirts that are old, that if someone is tearing off and doing things. It's in good to go. And why they do? They wanted to become similar. Like they don't want to see any part of your body that don't have a color. So they do this. So yeah. So this is happened. They used to happen. We used to tear off shirts, and generally they do the kids. But in cities and the places, people have become more civilized. In a sense, they just wanted to have this tradition of putting colors, and that's enough for them.
Lesson there for you, Isma. So gentlemen, I just did a quick calculation here. The three of us are sitting here. So Ritesh, it's early evening for you in Bangalore, a city of 5 or 6 million people in this gigantic country called India. I'm sitting here in a tiny village in the middle of the two of you in France. It's now just after 3 o'clock here. And Isma, you've just had breakfast. I assume it's 9:30 for you, or 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the morning for you. And you're sitting in Western Brazil, not far from the border to Paraguay. Three different cultures, three different histories, three different worldviews. And we have, I just did the calculation, we have a combined age of 157 years. Okay, that's the sum of our age. So we can be good about this, and I can make Isma and I, we're the same age, Isma and I, well, I could make us a little bit younger, and Ritesh, I can make you a whole lot older, and then we might be sort of on the same scale. The reason I'm saying that is that we are sitting here, each in our respective offices or places at home, having a very civilized, pleasant, interesting conversation. And we've been doing this for a good number of years, 3 to 4 years, if not longer. We have never met physically. I do at some point want to change this. But we have sort of grown to know each other and have really good conversations individually, collectively, in various categories. And it doesn't get much more global than this. So the question that I have now is, I'm going to start with you, Isma. What do you think is a global skill everybody should have, irrespective who they are, where they come from, where they live, what they do? What should be a global skill that everyone should have, from your experience, from your perspective, sitting at home in Western Brazil?
I think it's to be open to different culture and ready to accept them and not to criticize it. But if you want to criticize, you have to do it secretly and not in a public way. Yeah, because of course, if I go to a different place with a different culture from mine, I will have some opinion about that, but it's not fair to publicize my opinion about that. I have to keep it only for me.
Okay, we'll come back to that in a minute. Ritesh, same question from your perspective. What is one global skill everyone should have?
Yep, so I agree with Eshmar. We have our own limitations, boundaries, and we think that this is all. And we don't give up enough thought that someone might have a different opinion. And so we have to be open about that person and thing that can be like that. So what we do generally that even if I'm going somewhere in a different country. And if I see certain thing that is not the way we used to see in our place, I cannot outright just reject that these people are like this, or they are inferior, or they are superior. It can say that the development, or there are reasons that this system has developed. Okay, so in the context of people kissing on the cheek, it's very, very weird for an Indian guy or a person who living in India. But I can't say that because those people are wrong, the person who are doing. So I have to be open, not me only, but everyone who is going out, and we see very less openness about this. Okay, we just reject things that this is wrong, and people should not do like this. And a person from the other side, they say same thing. So if I'm going and living somewhere and doing something, I have to be like them and do things that they do. I cannot impose my view, thoughts on that.
So both of you think that being open to different cultures is important. Now, the irony of the story is that never in the history of humanity have we had such fantastic communication problem possibilities as we have today. We have this internet thing. We have 24-hour news channels, we have television, we have everything possible globally available to us. But somehow we still don't quite manage it. Isma, from your perspective, how can people learn to be open to different cultures? Especially people who may actually, for multitude of reasons, never actually be able to visit a different culture. I mean, how many people will be able to visit Ritesh in Bangalore and vice versa? How many people in Bangalore may actually be able to visit you in Campo Grande? But somehow we want everyone to be open to different cultures. How are we going to do this?
I believe that to live peacefully with a different culture is to be tolerate. Tolerant.
Tolerant,
Tolerant.
tolerant, yeah.
Because I'm not the only one who are right or who are wrong. It depends on their circumstance. I have learned something in a specific way. And other people from different culture from mine can learn it in a different way. I think it's to be tolerant. And although we have all this kind of communication you mentioned, and probably many people think that you achieve the world peace, and it doesn't make any difference for us according to wars. We still have so many wars all around the world. Besides, we know a little more about other culture, but it doesn't improve our international relationships.
So, okay, so it's learning to be tolerant. Okay, we'll come back to that one. Ritesh, same question to you. How are we going to learn especially from an Indian context where there's so much diversity already within the subcontinent itself? Yeah. How are we going to be more open to different cultures globally?
It's very hard to say. People are not very open, and we have prejudice. We can say that looking at people and say that this completely wrong, the people they are doing, and we have to change them. We have to make them civilized, okay? And they impose their point of view. Okay, if you look at the Indian way, if I say, you say that yeah, people can live that way. It's happy. I'm completely fine. A person who is living like this, and if I see that this is wrong, then I'm not going to live like that. One thing. Other thing is I will try to convince him to live that living style or even the practices that they do. But I will not impose. Okay? So imposition, what will do that they will create a what do you call it? Kind of resistance. So I can say that the right word that we have to tolerate certain things, and we have to let that yeah it can be, but we have to bring changes on us that looking at on me looking at a person can learn more, and he can try to aspire like becoming me. I'm not talking about only at the individual level, at a cultural level, at a society level. Okay, people can aspire to be like that. Even at the society that moving forward, that they are moving. So even at look at the Indian traditions, and people have. Only thing is that they should have given an opportunity to look at others, even at the society, and say that we are doing something wrong, okay, and we have to develop ourselves like that. We try to become like that, but people have a mentality of saying it's completely wrong, and we should not be like that. So, to develop that resistance, we should give a freedom of person to change himself, or a society to change himself or develop himself as a society completely to move from the backwardness or the things they do in a proper way, but not imposition. So imposition is created like, no, it's my way and I will be like that.
Question to both of you, to change yourself. So I live in the corner of France that I live in, which is in the top northeastern corner where we sort of poke into Germany. It's not very French here. It's got a lot of German influence. One thing that strikes me, that struck me when I moved here and 20 years ago, and it irritates me to a certain degree, that the local identity is so strong that there is almost no room to accept other cultures. So the Alsatian identity, it has historical reasons. The Alsatian identity is so strong that they are convinced that this is the best, and they will celebrate their traditions, and it gets passed through the generations, to the point of almost being a little bit intolerant. And either you fit in or you don't. And if you don't, you're still allowed to live here, but you're not, well, you at best maybe just ambiv people are ambivalent towards you. What's your take on that? How would you react to a person saying that, we in this particular part of the world, we live in paradise, why should we move? Everything is fantastic, we are the best, etc., etc. How would you react to that?
In general, I think that all person think that their culture is the best one. I found I met some people in England and in Canada that they were living there to learn English or to make some amount of money, but they were so eager to come back to Brazil. And I think that has happened to many people around the world. Of course, there are people that want to settle there forever, but in theory, I think that most of people think that their culture is the best one. I don't think on this way, but I think most people think.
Okay. Vitesh, what about you?
So when like you told that people think this is the best, so two things comes in mind. One thing, yes, they are really best. They do things like extraordinary than the rest of the people, or this mentality will lead to a fracture of their development, because you don't want to evolve or develop. You don't want to look at others the way they are functioning, and the self pride can lead to self destruction, because you see that I'm the best. No one is truly best if they are not continuously improving. But even the person who is behind you and he's looking at you, he's making a target, like you are a target, and he's achieving. So he will reach you in the society or in anywhere, like any terms I can say, and he will surpass you because he has the growth potential. And other thing, that if you see that best, you are not looking at outside, you are not experiencing, and the overconfidence will lead a fall of where you are as a town, society, at individual level also, I can say that. Yeah, so in that, I feel this.
Interesting thought. Almost like, the downfall of an empire or something like that. Isma, do you know if there is an Indian restaurant in Campo Grande?
If there is, I haven't seen yet, but in Campo Grande, in Curitiba, there was.
Okay, well, Curitiba is a little bit far away from you at the moment. I'm just wondering. Now that you know Ritesh, you've spoken with him a few times. Would you be motivated to try an Indian restaurant, knowing full well probably that what they cook in that restaurant will bear little resemblance with what Ritesh will eat at home in Bangalore, given that I have tried cooking a few Indian dishes and Ritesh has smiled politely at my recipe combination because, again, it is a little different to what he does. But in general, would you be motivated or interested in trying some Indian food and then sending a picture of it to Ritesh to say, "Look, I've tried it."
I don't know if India people eat scorpion like Chinese and dog like Korean people. I don't know. And if it is not something very exotic, I think I would like to try. Although I don't like spice food, and India cuisine is so spicy.
So we We touch on the cliches: scorpions in China, dogs in Korea, and spicy food in India. Ritesh, beef is not on any Indian menu for religious reasons. Not all Indian food is spicy. What would you say what would you say to Isma to and make him motivated to try some Indian food?
Yeah, you can like some most of the foods are very few foods have like, people can prepare with less spice food. We have some foods that there is no spice, but you can try beef. There is a state or two, three states where beef is permissible. People are eating beef, and you can find, but you can have some of the foods are very like local foods that have a different taste that is only found in India, and the spice. I'm not saying a spicy, but a spice. The thing that the sense it gives, right? You can try, and for the sake of trying to know better, okay, how Indian foods feel, you can try, and at least have a taste to know. And you can, if you're going in a restaurant, you can say that I need very less. Spice, or I don't eat a spice. Some of the foods they make without a spice, even they add what do you call sugar and all. So yeah, just give a chance. If any, like I'm not saying to go and eat, but if you have opportunity and you go somewhere and see, you can try once, and if
Maybe,
it good, then
maybe in the supermarket, some frozen samosas or something like that. The same curveball to you, Ritesh, and also then the last question. I don't know what the chances are of you finding a Brazilian restaurant in Bangalore. Maybe not. But we discussed this on one occasion many meetings ago, where the general consensus is that Western food, although available in India in restaurants, is considered a little bit bland and a little bit boring compared to the richness and diversity of Indian cuisine. Could you see yourself taking your wife to a Portuguese, not to a Portuguese, a Brazilian restaurant, heavy on barbecues and grilled meats and things like that. Could you, if it sort of one crossed your path, could you say, "Oh, I know Isma, let's try this"?
Yes, definitely. I would love her to go and try, especially veg for me, or if I'm let's see, wants to eat non-veg. But I tried on her birthday. Like I, instead of going for Indian food, I thought let's go Chinese, and we ordered something and veggie thing that was not very much appreciated. And even it is kind of day off having that food. So yeah, for me, I for a day, a minute, or for a time, I will try to go. And I don't know about the Brazilian restaurant or place, but I know French food, especially they have a restaurant that they provide this kind of food. But I have to look at the internet if they provide any food related tied to Brazil.
Well, you can try it, and then we can share notes. I'm certainly looking forward to eating Korean food. from the end of next week onwards for 10 days. So that's going to be an interesting experience, which is the main motivation of going there, because in Seoul they have a fish market, which is it's mind-blowing apparently. So that's what I want to go and visit. Gentlemen, thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing your insights into the various cultural differences. We meet again next week and we continue our skills discussion, and we talk about survival skills. Can we survive in each other's culture? Or can we survive in everyday situations? Isma, your quote of many, many moons ago, Brazil is not a place for amateurs. I'm sure that would be an interesting way of looking at surviving Brazil. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Let me just stop this. And where is my record button? Bingo, there you go.
Yes.